Yeah, I knew that was going to come up, though.
If you use the new three-point takedown, you would have won that match.
Yes, we've actually talked about this.
Who do you think will represent United States at 57 kilos?
That's a really good question. I just see this Drexel kid, this spaz, just like hitting his arm, slapping his face, like screaming and stuff. And I was like, oh boy, I got to wrestle this kid. And it's like, you do it. And then it's like, there's life after that. And you're just like, I didn't think about this afterwards, you know?
That's interesting.
I've always been the guy that's been second, third, bronze, silver. To be like, I'm the best right now, and I believe in myself and have that confidence, I couldn't be more thankful to God for that.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Clash of Combat podcast. Today, we are joined with Stefan Micic. How's it going?
What's up, man? Thanks for having me, Caden. I appreciate
Thank
it,
you.
Brother.
It's crazy having a world champion on campus. This is pretty cool. Yeah. So made the quick drive up. It was just about an hour and a half or so?
Yeah, it wasn't very long at all. It was like literally, it was like an hour 40 or something. Me and Mike drove up. It's close. Like I'm in like South Chicago, Northwest Indiana. So it's actually a pretty easy drive. My cousins live in Muskego, so it's close to you guys.
Okay. Do they wrestle too?
My cousin, no, he wrestled. He's 5 years older than me. He wrestled a little bit in like high school, but that was about it. He had like a bad shoulder injury with his labrum. So, yeah, I know. So pretty much me. I'm the only one who really wrestled. My little cousin wrestled for a little bit, but just pretty much me.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was binging all your YouTube videos. So if you guys don't know, Stefan has a YouTube channel now documenting the journey, you know, got the Olympics coming up this summer. Super cool stuff. I learned that no one in your family wrestled and you basically found out about wrestling through a flyer. Can you kind of explain that whole process?
Okay. Yeah. So I come from like my family, like my dad's side of the family is from former Yugoslavia or Serbia now. And so I'm Serbian and like, I think my family's always kind of had like that combat like thing about them. They were did jiu-jitsu. My uncle's actually a black belt in jiu-jitsu. And so like I've always liked like fighting and stuff as a kid. And when I was the only boy, so I have two younger sisters. And so like I never like could like fully like express like fighting, like beating my sisters up. I think my mom would like get mad. So I remember like one day we moved. I went to this new elementary school in town because we were building our house. And so we moved into the place we were living. And all of a sudden, like these one family that wrestled, the dad's the coach, he's like, you look like one of the Petrov brothers. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, yeah, they're all the kids wrestling their family. And then I was like, okay. So one day, one of the Petrov brothers brings me a flyer and says like, hey, this is wrestling. Like you should wrestle too. Like, they were Greek and you're Serbian. Like we're like brothers, like Orthodox brothers wrestle. Yeah. And I was like, okay, sure. Like I was like eight. So bring this flyer home. I'm like, I want to try it. And my mom was like, what do you mean? Like you, they just weren't expecting that from me, I guess. Like, and, but I always like wanted to, and I don't know. I just started like getting really good at doing it. Like at a young age, you know, I loved it. I kind of had the right temperament for the sport. You know, not super aggressive. Like I'm pretty chill and like happy off the mat. But when it comes to it, I just kind of like took care of business on the mat, I guess.
So you were like kind of successful from the start, you were saying?
I would say like, you know, from like a beginner level, not like amazing or anything, but like you could see like, hey, you have a lot of talent. Like you can kind of progress up the sport quicker, you know? So by the time I was 10, like, so about 2 years, I won my first state title in Indiana.
Jeez. Oh.
So, like, as a kid. So
it reminds me of you, Crosby.
Yeah, never got that done.
were you a kiddie killer?
No.
I wouldn't say I was, like, I guess I was good. But, like, I didn't do, like, the traditional, like, you're good. Let's send you to every single national tournament kind of thing. We took it slow. Like, my dad learned a lot about the sport. So my dad kind of has always been my coach and someone in my corner. But at first, he didn't know a lot about wrestling. Okay, so it's like you're a dad. You get introduced into a sport where you want to help your kid to do. We have a really close relationship, and so he learned a lot about it through. We had one guy that taught me. His name was Greg Larson. He was like he went to JUCO at Lassen. Have you heard of that school? It's where like DC went to school and Jamel Kelly. It was like the top school in the '90s for like their lineup could have beaten like D1 programs at the time.
Jeez.
So Greg actually helped me learn a lot about wrestling. I had a high IQ and, for the sport and kind of got my dad into understanding it. And then from there, me and my dad, he especially was like on YouTube looking at everyone who was good. So I got into John Smith. I got into watching Arsen Fadzaev, Sergey Belaglazov, you know, a lot of these guys who were champs back in Olympic champ, world champions, you know, Kenny Monday, Kevin Jackson, all of these guys. And then he started watching a lot of these Russians that were really good because the era when I was a kid, 2004 is when I started. So from 2004 to 2008, like 10 was like when Russia was just like insane. You know, they had so many world champions, you know, Mavel Batyrov, Buvasar Saitiev, Besik Kudakov. They were just like insane. So some of those guys I like grew up watching and learning a lot about it. From a young age. So I was exposed to freestyle too. Our kids club was only freestyle.
Oh, how is that possible?
I don't know. Where we grew up, like I guess like it was spring when I started wrestling. So it was our club was only freestyle. And then like I did folk style about a year later, I started learning folk style.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that nuts?
That's insane.
Because when I first started, I guess I didn't even know about like freestyle and Greco up until like mid-middle school. So like this is like probably like, you know, 6, 7, 8 years of like wrestling. It's like, wait, like there's more styles. Like this is what the whole world is doing. It's just so interesting. Like why did United States just make up folk style and just completely make their own path?
Yeah. I don't know. Like it was weird because I had the same kind of thing, but the reverse like experience. There's a folk style. I was like, folk style? This sounds like some weird like... I don't know, country, like sure. sounds
like a dance or
like
something.
A dance, yeah, like folklore dancing in Serbian or something. I was like, what is it? And so at a young age, I was exposed to like freestyle first and kind of learning that the best were that and kind of I knew what like that highest level was of that. And then kind of like college was so popular too that when I did college, I just kind of felt that was like a stepping stone for me to get to where I wanted to go. And like, you just think like, hey, if I want to be a world champ, like I'm probably going to be an NCAA champ. At least like that's kind of what you think is a progression. Like, you know, if you go through your steps, like winning state and going to college and if you're good enough and you can handle that, you can be an All-American or an NCAA champ. Mm-hmm. And then you kind of can go into freestyle to win medals and hopefully be a world champion and Olympic champion, you know?
Yeah. That makes it. For me, I'd say it's kind of interesting. I had this conversation before I kind of committed to college. Shout out to Max Askren. But he was saying, I was saying that I want to win a state title my senior year. And he's like, you know, like if that's like your biggest mountain to climb, it's kind of hard to focus on that. But if your focus is on to win a college national title, yeah, that high school title might like line up with your goals and you're going to like accomplish that. It kind of makes you think of like, there's going to be higher mountains. So it's like, you of course hold yourself accountable and, you know, hopefully you can of course climb it step by step. Yeah. So it's interesting.
And my dad used to always tell me too, like never, because going into high school too in Indiana, like was kind of a nice, like, you know, it was like a lot of pressure too, because Indiana's a one class state too. And I know like, it doesn't get as much hype as like maybe Illinois does or like Ohio, but Indiana's always like the top are usually really, really good. So it was kind of like winning a state title meant a lot, at least my first one. And I was a 3-time state champ, but like I remember going in, it was like my dad was like, hey, listen, like if you don't win a state title at all, like listen, we're just going to get better in the room. And like when you focus on just the growth mindset and growing, like these things will happen, you know? Mm. It's not about like that title, that achievement of like, yeah, like you said, but Max, so that's a really good advice is like, I always think you can't look at it things just as like that one total like event in your life is like some huge mountain or peak to climb. It makes things blown out of proportion a little bit.
Yeah.
So
talk more about that growth mindset.
Yeah.
That you kind of referred to there.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I've always kind of had a growth mindset in wrestling. But like it's gotten a lot better. And you know, one guy that I've talked to a lot is, you know, Matt Gentry. He was an NCAA champ for Stanford, and he was a 2-time Olympian for Canada. He took 5th place at the Olympics in London, only losing to Burroughs and Denis Sargouche. So I was like, that was like the two guys he lost to lose a medal to, which was crazy. But he's someone that I worked a lot of some mental stuff with. He's in the Chicago area. And Matt is someone we talked about with having like the growth mindset and learning, like, listen, you know, you're going to fail a lot in life and learning how that you can grow from those failures, because most of things are failures more than the successes, you know, and everybody has a different story. So putting those two things together, learning like, listen, what I can gain from things like, you know, what I'm taking from right and wrong, what I do from success or failure. And I grow from those failures and learn like, hey, I can't make those mistakes anymore. I'm growing technically. I'm growing mentally, just learning to try things and let things fly. Like, loosen up when I go out and wrestle. It's not that deep at the end of the day, you know? Yeah. And learning how that, like, I was able to kind of just accept that and be like, hey, get off the mat and lose. Like, nothing's really changed in my life. Like, yeah. Really, except that I made it a bigger deal than it was. And yeah, that changed my mindset a lot when I started kind of having a little bit less, putting a lot less pressure on myself and learning, like, hey, it's more about the journey than it is like that success at the end. Mm. And even after winning a gold medal and accomplishing a goal that I've had my whole life, becoming a world champion, being the best in the world, it was like crazy because I almost remember a lot of like build up to it because that was just such a short little event that it's like I was more like affirmation that you can do it, if that makes sense.
Sure. Like manifesting, like you write down on a card or you have it on your mirror or something like that.
Exactly. And it's like you do it and then it's like there's life after that and you're just like, I didn't think about this afterwards,
that,
you know?
That's interesting. That is an interesting point.
You don't think about that, but it's a lot, it's all about what leads up to it, and that's like what builds it, and that's what made me. So
yeah, I got to say this. We have been doing so many online podcasts that just hearing you just talk in person feels so much better.
That's true. It does. That's the one thing, like when we started the podcast, we wanted to do it like all in person, but like after like traveling like all summer and it's like now we got the season here, we've done lots of virtual.
Yeah, it's been like 2 months of virtual.
Dang, that's tough.
This is cool.
Yeah, it's way better.
I'm happy to.
Yeah.
That's great. I'm a talkative guy too, so that could help as well. But yeah.
Is that an Oura ring?
Yeah, it is. It is. It's
what you know about that, Caden?
I asked him too, because he's like, it's an Oura ring. I'm like, they make gold?
Yeah, I got one too. We had arguments about which one's better because he has the Whoop band.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And of course, I'm not wearing it because it's dead. So.
Give me your, I want to hear what you think about the Whoop because I don't really know. I just know that this does such a good job with sleep and recovery. And I care a little bit more about that end of it than I would have. Like a Whoop, I feel like maybe is more dedicated on like the athletic side.
Yeah. Of it, right? And, definitely, I think looking back, I would have prioritized the Oura ring. I feel so bad saying
this.
Because we were talking trash.
They were talking trash about me for like months on end. I think like looking back, it does have a lot of cool stuff in there with like the attributes of like your heart rate, like what zone you're in at this time. It's like when we're doing like our preseason runs, it was super cool to see how high your heart rate went during like this run and this run. Like it was super cool. But maybe you know. Maybe you can have both too to focus on sleep, but it does.
Do you wrestle with your son?
I kind of take mine off, honestly. Like I like sometimes I forget or put it on, or like just like drill days I put it on, but then like usually like I just take it off because like I don't know. I guess it could help you. Do you wrestle with yours?
No, I wrestled with it once and it kind of felt weird and it was like moving around when I started getting sweaty and it was kind of uncomfortable.
I just felt like it knows anyways by my sleep how I'm recovering without the activity. Mm. So like it kind of like your body just is a natural sensor at that. Like it's going to know you had a hard work rate, like your heart rate's up, like you couldn't fall asleep the same way or you're like restless at night. So I'm like, it really doesn't matter, like, anyways. And plus, it kind of does a weird job of, like, you'd be like, oh, did you, like, you walked up the stairs today? Like, did you go swimming? And I'm like, I didn't swim today. Yeah. It's like, well, like, I didn't even do anything. And it's like, it like, kind of requests you that you do weird exercise or, like, thinks you do. Yeah. So I'm just like, I think it's more built for, like, sleep and then recovery from, like, you get from the day before. And I that's all I care about anyways.
Yeah.
So.
Do you do anything to, like, help your sleep?
So when I start picking up my training, I actually have a hard time with my central nervous system calming down. So I sleep really well always. But like sometimes when I start doing two-a-days, we start doing matches, simulations, and that like I'm in that first month of like, okay, I'm competing in 6 weeks and I first start picking up the intensity, my body has a hard time shutting down because it's like you're so tired, but you feel like you're in a war zone. Your body's just like shook and it has a hard time just like, you know, you're in fight or flight. It doesn't like my central nervous system doesn't calm down. So I've had some different things that I try to do to kind of get in a routine to help me sleep. And this has really helped me because it'll, you know, and then I kind of can give the feedback to my dad and like other, you know, my strength coach. Cause when we talk about like how we can adjust those workouts accordingly too. Mm-hmm. But I do like, I don't know, things where I try to just simmer down before like bed, like relax a little bit, like an hour or an hour and a half before I go to bed, like putting on certain TV shows. I used to wear blue light blockers. I don't really wear them anymore. It's not really that as much as it is. I just need to like get my mind in like a more like zen state where it's just like I'm just chill totally. I'm not thinking about the day ahead of me or in front of me or you know.
Do you play like music to go to sleep or like rain sounds?
I don't know. Actually, what I do is I'll use no, that's nice. I sometimes do that
like a black screen with rain sounds.
Uh-huh.
You do that?
Yeah, I do that. I'm surprised you don't hear it. Sometimes it's really
loud. I've never heard it.
Sometimes it is.
I have like the white noise maker that I use for sleep. Oh. But that's just like in general. But I do, I've used on the Oura Ring, dude. You should try this. There's like the this like part where you hit sleep and or it goes to like this like noises and stuff. Mm-hmm. And there's like breathing things that you can do to like calm yourself. And
I've seen those. I've never done them.
There's some that are like a little too much, but there's one that's like it's a 5 minute one. I'll show you after. It's like literally all you do is it just does a guided breathing for like 5 minutes where you like hold your breath for like 4 seconds and then you hold it or go in for four, hold it for four, and out for like 8 seconds. And you do it like, I don't know how many times, like 10 or 12 times. And then it like just gets you, your heart rate calmed down so much. Huh. And then you just stop it and then you put your sound, your whatever you want and go to sleep. And it helps a lot.
I think that's military breathing. We did that in Wrestling Mindset, like the box.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
You do more like exhaling, right?
Yeah. I think it was 4-4-4.
It's still like rhythmic, right? You have like a set thing.
Yeah. Okay. Such interesting.
Because you wear like those.
I wear the nasal things. It's like a magnetic, so it's like super sticky, and then I got like this like hard plastic that like stretches your nose. It gets more airway that way.
I got a question. My black belt, my uncle who's a black belt in jiu-jitsu, he's always telling me, he's like, you gotta try the breathe right when you wrestle. He's like, do it. And I'm like,
you wrestle?
Yeah, that's what he said. He's like, apparently like you could train your nostril, like you can breathe more, but you have to train it. And I'm just like, I don't know, like even if you can do that in wrestling or not, but I was like, I was wondering if you ever wrestled with
I haven't, but that's kind of interesting. I know they have those other like things too, like you breathe through it and it's like if you breathe in, there's like super small holes on the ends. So it's like tougher to breathe. And it was like, supposedly you're supposed to get more stamina in your lungs, but
that you can like pull more air in or whatever.
Yeah. So like, I'm not too sure the science behind there, but I think there's options, but.
Wait, would that nasal thing even stay on if you wrestled?
I don't know.
It depends which one you get. I think, I don't think mine would.
Yeah, I don't know. I've got to like mess around with it just in training once, but I know if you do it at first, you're going to like be burning. Your lungs will be burning because you're just taking so much oxygen in at first.
Yeah, like, actually, that's interesting.
But I think like maybe if you it might help.
Maybe.
I don't know. I don't know if they're legal.
Yeah.
The UWW, they're checking your knee pads. They're like, what's on your nose?
I kind of want to talk about your Serbian descent and kind of why you're not like representing the United States, just so everyone can have like a full idea on that.
Sure, sure. So, like me being Serbian has kind of been something I've grown up with my heritage my whole life, you know, being around it with the church, being around it with the language, being around it with traditions, food, you know what I mean? Everything. Like I have a lot of family that live there still. So, you know, I'm very Serbian as part of my identity and like it's very important to me with my culture. But with the wrestling side, basically when I was like after my junior world, I got bronze in 2015 at junior world. So I was like 19. That year, like Serbia had kind of came up to me like, well, I made the cadet team, you know, they see my name, Micić. They're like, oh, you're Serbian, you know? Mm-hmm. And, pretty much was like, you know, you should try to wrestle for us and have the opportunity. And just with my love for freestyle, I was like 19. I'm like, of course, like, why would I not want to go to the European Championships every year or in the World Championships every year? I want to go and do it. And now it's like, okay, you can do it you can try to make the teams in the US and stuff. But like, this was when I was still wrestling in college. And it was like, I'm still focusing on like Michigan and like what I want to do for my college career, like ahead of me. And it was just like, it just made sense. Cause I was like, listen, this is what I always say. I don't know how it was going to end up for 5 years down the road or 6 years down the road, but I was still a junior level athlete, right? Mm. Making this switch. It's not like I was trying to avoid and change the way what I wanted to do. All I cared about was wrestling freestyle against the best guys. And I wanted to go and travel and train. I've been to Dagestan at that age. I had gone to Dagestan. I had gone to Turkey. I'd gone to France for different competitions, you know, like as an age group wrestler, you know? So it was something for me, it was like, my passion's freestyle. I don't really care about the other stuff. And it was like, hey, if I'm going to get the opportunities, do I know I'm going to be the best guy even to medal in five or 6 years, let alone be the guy that's going to be the number one representative, which, you know, now I'm a world champion. I'm the best in the world. It's not like I had pre-planned or like thought about how that would go at that age. If that makes sense, right?
Yeah.
You're just making the decision. I'm making the decision, having the opportunity to have that chance at a younger age and do that and be able to get that exposure, which ultimately I felt like has gotten me to be a better wrestler because having these chances of going a lot of these places and gaining the experiences to do that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so like, of course, like people, it's just how it works. And, you know, I'm wrestling for myself too at the end of the day. Of course, like I understand people wish that I could wrestle for the U.S. and have to go through the same thing as how it goes, but that's just not how what happened for in my case, in my story. You know what I mean? And for me, representing Serbia is a really awesome thing, and I'm so happy that I get to do that for my own heritage and making my family proud and making the people proud of Serbia, and be able to also what I've been able to do. Being Serbia's first ever freestyle world champion. They have a lot of good Greco world and Olympic champions, but being Serbia's first ever freestyle world champion, I've literally inspired the country to like want to grow in freestyle and be able to change that and do something in a small country like Serbia that's been war torn and has a lot of history and a lot of fighting and oppression and a lot of things going on in there in the culture. It's so cool that I'm able to kind of like be a voice, you know, in a country where Olympic sports mean a lot more than even in America means.
Sure,
you know,
yeah.
So like in the broader scheme of things, it's really a cool opportunity of what I've been able to do.
Yeah, that's sick.
Just from, you know, and it's not something like I did because of any fear of running away. It's like, man, I want to wrestle the best guys, but I just had that opportunity. Like, you know,
yeah,
it's just, yeah.
When you're like walking, like in the streets of Serbia, are you like more, I guess like famous around there, you think?
I don't know. So, I mean, I would say it's about, I would say in the U.S. though, the wrestling community is bigger than you think. People always come up to me and say stuff to me here, like surprisingly. And in the U.S., people are like, oh, you know, you're Michic, like, oh, Stevan, how are you? You know, but in Serbia, I do get a lot of stuff like randomly too. You know, people do in the sport, or like people are like, oh, I saw you on TV. They'll say to me in Serbian or whatever. Like, I mean, I after Worlds, like I was on literally every TV station, radio. It was like I did not expect that, but it was pretty cool.
Didn't you get like a coin or something in Serbia?
No, I got an award. Miles Amin got a coin actually
for the
Olympic bronze when he got bronze for San Marino. That country's so small that they literally put him on their a currency there.
Is it his face?
No way.
Yes. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Yes. The He's currency? On like a $5 euro. Yeah. I think they made like limited things for Miles, but it was so sick. I was like, dude, this is way too cool. Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah. I don't think it's like open like publicly for everybody. But like he has like I have a Miles Amin coin.
That's such
that
a flex.
I could like go to the airport
That's
and buy
insane.
Like for 5 euros.
That's for, like, insane.
It's crazy. So I mean one day in Serbia I can get on a dinar.
Dude, I just can't fathom that. That's like unbelievable. Uh-huh. That's so cool.
Yeah.
So. What's the craziest way you've heard somebody pronounce your name?
I don't really like Steven very much. So I just like, if people say Stevan or Stefan, it's better than like Steven. So it's like just my name's Stevan. But Michic is a crazy one. So it's really easy to say Michic, okay? Because it's like the C's just have the little ch on them. They just don't have it in English like that. So that's how you pronounce my name is Michic. But I think one time my dad was trying to tell someone, they're like, oh, so like, they're like, just say each twice. And they're like, oh, it's easy. It's Macisis. And I was like, no, come on. Not that hard. Let's go. Come on.
Oh my gosh.
That's on funny. Matt D, Steven Mysick. No, it's actually good. It's good now. We're cool.
That's good. That's Don't good. Worry.
At our recent duel, there was this broadcaster that was giving our whole team crap.
Oh, my goodness.
He pronounced everyone's name wrong, but he was calling me Hensel instead of Henschel and Warchel instead of, like, Warchek and all these. It was something.
Our 74-pounder wrestled three-weight classes.
Yep.
Same guy. He just kept saying his name.
Yeah.
He just kept coming up, but
that's awesome.
Yeah.
I was actually doing some research into your past college matches.
Okay.
And I was watching you versus Seth Gross.
Yeah.
And in that match, if you use the new 3-point takedown, you would have won that match.
Yes. We've actually talked about this.
Have you?
Yeah, we have. That's a crazy match. Did you like count out the takedown?
Yeah. And I was like, wait a second. Is this because like I never really looked back on a match and be like, oh, wait, this overturned, especially in a big match like that. It's interesting.
Yeah.
Even though it was a couple years away, but it's just, I guess so.
That was a crazy match. Like Seth was a really good competitor. I like think him is his style with being lanky. Mm-hmm. It's like was kind of probably what you felt with me. Like we're both like really lanky and tall we're tall for 33 and even for 57 kilos, both of us making the weight, you know, and stuff. And I just remember that match. I was like 99% ready to win. The only position I wasn't ready to win was if I gave up a takedown, like not giving up a wrist. And mm-hmm. I literally fought that so hard. I should have just given a takedown and just tried to start from scratch and escape. Mm-hmm. But he literally like me fighting and getting stubborn to defend it. He like just caught a wrist and jumped on a near wrist. And then I got turned and went down 6-0. Mm-hmm. But like, I just remember after the match, it was just like, I got in my zone. I was just prepared on my feet, how to finish, how to, you know, we were prepared for my neutral game. And it was just like, people were like, forgot, like after the NCAA tournament, they were congratulating me. Like, congrats, man. That was awesome. I was like, oh yeah, you ended up losing. Like, because I just like, they forgot how the way that it was like a takedown clinic at the end.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? And he just was kind of like in shutdown mode. And I was just like, go. Oh. So it was kind of a hard pill to swallow because of like how close it was to that situation. But dude, the new 3-point rules, man, that would have really benefited me because of how good I was on neutral compared to like as a more of a folk style, you know, wrestler.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. How close do you, watch, this folk style season, especially guys in your weight and like the guys at USA that, you know,
paid attention to it more than I would say like watched, like I've like been more like attentive to the duels. Like I've watched my Michigan guys wrestle mm-hmm. more than I have, and maybe a couple big matches and seen a little bit of highlights here and there, but I haven't been like really like shut down, like sit down, let's watch. I'm not really like watch duel like that anyways. Cause I don't know, like when you go through the season, you always are like, you kind of get numb to the fact of like sitting down. So I'm kind of like on that, like, I need a little time away like, to kind of just like recoup. But like, well, of course, Nationals, Big Tens, like that's a different story, you know? But I don't know. I think like it's been tough to really look at like that. What do you guys think about it? You're wrestling it. What do you think about the 3-point?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I love the 3-point.
It's way better.
Is
it? Yeah, way better.
I can finally like major people in tech ball field. No more decisions.
But. Yeah. How does it feel? Like just 2 takedowns, you're up 6-1, right?
Yeah. It's interesting because it was funny because I was seeing Flo was posting like Shane Sparks was saying how the 3-point takedown's like so bad. It's going to ruin wrestling. But then recently he says, I love the 3-point takedown, completely switched. But I think more points is better for wrestling.
Yeah. I'm a pro freestyle guy, so like, you know, not to, you know, but like I like that you're able, like in freestyle you get 2 mm-hmm. and then you're back on your feet and it's 2-0, right? Mm-hmm. And I think like having the 3-pointers and then they're getting an escape, it's like you still work for point, and you can still work for a reversal that's 2.
All right.
But like giving the, like to still have a 2-point lead from the takedown is a lot, you know, that's fair, I think, than having that gap from a takedown. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I like that. That's why I like the 3-point takedowns. Cause like you're that way. You're not taking away, you know, you're still rewarding the escape and you're still rewarding someone trying to escape off bottom.
Mm-hmm.
But, I think that's like definitely going to help the sport going forward.
There's a little bit of time where I thought we should, put the 3-point takedown in high school until we talked to your grandpa about it.
Oh yeah.
And he said how,
it's still 2 points in high school.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So but it would like make the younger guy or the newer guys of the sport in high school, it would like
give them no chance.
Yeah. Basically.
That's true.
Yeah. So it's interesting to like think about, like, of course those, cause the high schoolers these days, I mean, like,
are how many takedown let them ups you see in high school? It's just like,
yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Like spin around kids like this and it's a tech fall.
I mean, I was at my brother's senior night and, at our high school, our past high school, there's East and West. It's 2 high schools in 1 school. So their senior night was versus each other.
They should really. That sounds like a movie.
Basically is with like homecoming for football.
High school musical wrestling edition. It's like East versus West.
It literally is. But I mean, going back to just like the dominance of some high schoolers, it's like the Mirasolas go there. So if you know Cole and Connor,
yeah.
I mean, like there's just no chance that anyone of course can beat them. But of course it's like, you know, going back to that, it probably should be a 2-point takedown.
Yeah,
so
yeah. I mean, it would be nice for them though, because then they less time on the mat, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. What are your thoughts about like those younger guys like being so good as they are now?
Yeah, I think like the level is increasing and stuff like that. But like, I think it's cool that the young kids are like being able to be exposed. But like, no matter, just to always keep a you know, like a level head on it. Like nothing, it's all still gonna, you know, they're still, they have to. You know, face the test of time with like going into college, change and seeing how, you know, because I think that like they're jumping and growing quicker. And, you know, if they can keep on that pace when, you know, when things change up, I mean, pace, pace of growth, not like pace of speed. Like, you know, if they can keep improving, that's going to really ultimately help wrestling in America. You know, it's just what happens. Like when someone goes to college, everybody's path's different. You know, are they going to make the improvements they need to do? Are they going to like kind of be stuck where they're doing it? Or like, or is their style kind of being something that's like, maybe they're more physically mature for like their age, and the way that they wrestle is a lot more like, when they wrestle someone who knows how to hold position a lot better, and like they face someone's more like, you know, they meet maturity of like someone in college, it might not be working. It really is, it's all subjective to how someone's wrestling, I think. But I think in general, it's a good sign, right? Mm-hmm. Like in for the growth of wrestling, like high school, that the fact that you're seeing these guys come out, you know.
One question for you. Who do you think will represent United States at 57 kilos?
That's a really good question. You know, obviously that's something that like, it's important, because no matter who it is, it's like, I always have to be prepared for whoever the American guy is, because it's the US guy. And, but I think it's going to be probably Gilman, because I think Gilman is the most tested. He's the most, he's like the vet at the weight class. Mm-hmm. Yes. He maybe had a, maybe for him, it's a slip up at 57, but knowing how mentally tough he is as well, I think, you know, making a run at this, being ready and doing the things he needs to do. You know, I think Gilman has the best chance of making a dent into any of the world, the bracket in my weight class, you know, for like the top guys, when I think it's, but we'll see if Vito can make the descent. I think Vito is also the next contender. If Vito can make 57 and be the guy, you know, I think those are the two best chances.
That weight is crazy.
Yeah, it is.
Personally, I think that those are your two guys. I think that it just depends. You know, Fix is also can be a tough freestyler as well. Those are my, but I think it's going to be Gilman and Vito. It's just, if Vito can be Vito like he's been, then I would maybe go with him. But if it's, I just understand, because I make the weight cut as well, and I'm kind of fortunate to be doing it once a year now and kind of keeping the strength. But you know, Vito's in a college season right now. He's at 133. He's been competing there. I know he's not his favorite to make down, go down and then go into the trials. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I just think, you know, with Gilman kind of being that, having that, you know, probably overall, you know, most well-rounded wrestler as well at the weight class, has the hardware to back up. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. That makes sense.
And just because of one, like, okay, yeah, he wrestled only one time. He didn't have any other tournaments last year. Wrestled Zane and lost both matches right away in kind of in a fluke fashion, right? Then he looked like himself. It's kind of like an outlier a little bit to be like, oh, he's going to be like that now for the rest of the year. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just too much to, knowing how he is as a competitor, and knowing like, I want to wrestle him in the Olympic finals too. You know, I want to wrestle whoever, like, that's like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
you wouldn't include Spencer in there?
I think Spencer, like, I like Spencer's a good kid. I think Spencer's tough. I just don't know if Spencer's battle tested enough to be like the guy. Like the weight class is deep, and if you know, like, I know Nico is a big win for him, but I don't know if Nico is going to be the guy who's. I don't know like how hard Nico's been training. Like, is he full time? I know Nico works a job, and he's just been showing up wrestling. You know, he's been out of the picture. But when you have a guy like Gilman, Vito, Dayton Fix, Suriano. You know what I mean? Zane Richards. Yeah. And Zane's wrestling great. I mean, if he's not going to tech fall those guys in the first. So, I mean, if he can withstand, I mean, Spencer technically can be the guy. Just, I don't know. There's not enough data points to say, right? Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's been in the college scene for so long. It's hard. So I think I'm not counting him out. I think I'd love to have Spencer as a competitor too. Yeah. I'd love to wrestle him, but it's just how I think it's going to, you know what I'm saying? From like how we see things as a competitor, someone in the, that competes at the highest level right now.
Yeah.
What about you guys?
I mean, I always got to ride with Spencer, but
yeah, I mean,
but I mean, you, that makes so much sense. Yeah,
it makes a lot more sense coming from you, just seeing how that plays out, because you like wrestled at that level and you know more than us. And it's easy to see, of course, these quick matches and stuff like this to kind of hop on like the bandwagon, some would say.
Of course.
Especially, you know, like if he's the guy, you know, supporting like that, the, you know, Rudis,
of course,
like posting him all the time and doing all their guys.
Yeah, I like Spencer, and I think he has a great chance. I'm not sure. To take that out of context.
Right. I was just wondering. Like kind of what you thought, because it's
just going to be tough. I mean, but to be honest, it's the Olympic trials. It can be anybody. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, could be Nick. Could be, you know what I mean? Yeah. I'm not one to say either. It's just how I think it could go.
Yeah. What do you think is the best wrestling skill to develop?
I think learning how to hold position and being more of a defensive wrestler, as much as I am like an offensive wrestler, I think that's like the way that you can, and then learning how to take, like learning that having one or two shots that you're really good at doing, I think that can get you further, like earlier in your career, and like not earlier, but just learning how to be an overall better wrestler. And like, cause you're going to be wrestling more positions, not saying you want to let one into your leg, but learning how to be more just a positionally sound wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Because like eventually if you have a lot of offense and then the skill level gets higher, your chances of finding a leg attack is a lot harder. You need to have like an A shot, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think it like in general, you need to be like at the top. You need to have, I think this is most people would say you need to have an attack to both legs, one to each side. One of them needs to be a go-to. Like one of them needs to be an A level shot. And then you have to have solid leg defense and be able to not get scored on your, you have to be able to have good shot recovery, and then you have to have solid leg defense, and you can be a very, very, very high level wrestler.
Yeah. And guys, if you guys do not know, I was wrestling with him in some goes, and the defense was insane. Like holding his leg up, like, and he's lighter than me. It was the leg felt like 100 pounds. So I know exactly what he's talking about.
We were just speaking like, I've learned to like use my body to be heavy and learn how to use my body to be, you know, like I'm not one that's you could have like powerful hips and legs. Like I have chicken legs. Like my legs are literally like pencils. So if I sprawl back straight and guys can run up and pick up my leg, it's not great for me, you know, being like shelved in the air, but learning how to use my body to become heavier and learn how to position myself and move my opponent. That's going to help me in the long run and make things. And then, like I said, I think it's better like end game for me where it's a lot harder to finish me, because if I learn how to use my body, it's, you know, there's a lot more elements than just being like, okay, leg back. And then after that, it's like, there's so many layers that they have to wrestle through me because I can kind of keep moving and maneuvering my body.
Mm.
So I think for me being the length, I think seeing success, I think guys that do have that kind of lanky, skinny body have always kind of like, they do very, very well. Like I'm built kind of like Sadakov a little bit, you know, Sidakov, or like I would say have very, I mean, he's like lanky. He's kind of unassuming. Like this guy's the guy that's taken down Burrows, you know, but I just think for the style, being tall, having the reach, being able to get in, knows how to recover, has an A shot, knows how to hold position and defend.
Yeah.
Win scrambles, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, you seem huge for that weight class. Now that I'm thinking
about
it.
Well, I'm not small for it. I'll tell you
that.
I'm not, I have to cut a lot, but I mean, I've made the weight since 2018. I've made it every single year up till now. You know what I mean? I'm just doing it less now. And it's been a toll on my body. And, you know, I had contemplated on going up to 65, and that's just too hard to do because now that's another element of having power and having a lot more. I have to weigh more. I have to put on like another, you know, 8 to 10 pounds, I would say, to get and learn how to control my body for that extra oomph, you know, when a guy, you know. Yeah. You know, the hardest thing I would say is like, let's just say you're wrestling, right? And you get on a leg, you know, like when a guy kind of sprawls, you can kind of like recover, right?
Yeah.
When I would wrestle at 40, when I jumped up and kind of what the hardest thing to do was I probably wasn't like proper shape to go up, right away up 20 pounds after the Olympics, like five months later. That was probably not a smart move on my end, but the hardest thing was like getting used to taking a shot. And then when guys would just kind of like my fingertips, I couldn't recover. They would just start running the corner. And I'm like, what the heck? Yeah. They're just so much heavier than me.
Yeah.
And they would just hit corner. And I'm like, this is not what I'm used to doing. It was like, you know, I'm going to need some time after the Olympic Games because I'm planning on going up. I don't know if I want to take a year at 61 or, you know, then move up to 65 and for the next cycle or how I want to do it. But, you know, this was such a short cycle. I was like, I can do 57 again if I do it once a year, plan it right. And, you know, I have experience making the weight. I know how to cut weight, how to make the weight cut properly, how to diet right and get everything to a T. It's just not doing it too much. And also I've heard things on like a lot of guys. Like I know Gilman had problems with that too, where he was, you know, a lot of these guys coming down, it's that are bigger that it have a hard time getting down to 57, trying to like, be like, if I train here at all time, it's just not good for you. And it's like, you're putting wrestling second to your weight cut too. You're hurting your body. It's just like, hey, let's do this proper. Let's focus on wrestling. Let's get better in the sport. Let's focus on how I can win the gold. And then when weight cut comes to weight cut and we have to get it down, we do that later.
Yeah.
And we do it when we have to do it. Yeah. So I am in a unique situation where I don't have to go through the the gauntlet right now. Yeah. And I did what I had to do at the World Championships to qualify. So, you know, that was one thing we were like, hey, you know, if I don't get an Olympic, if I don't medal or like I don't take the top five, like I'm going to, you know, have to make weight at the Euro qualifiers, which is going to be super tough. I mean, that's one thing I would say the U.S. has the advantage of. It's like, okay, you do have to make the Olympic trials, but you qualify. It's like, you should have the bid.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Through Pan Ams.
Yeah. But
if you don't do it through Worlds, for me, it's like,
it's a grind.
It's a grind, man. Like I don't want to go to Europe if I don't have to and make the scratch. Like that's, you know, so many good wrestlers.
Yeah.
So.
Wait, so what do you walk around at right now?
I weigh like 43, 44. So I'm not like, I mean.
Still though.
It's the thing is, it's not like that heavy. Like I get under 140 when I start cutting weight. I'm like around 38, 37.
Okay.
But I just don't hold that much fat anyways. So that's kind of the thing is where I just can't sit at, I can't be 10 over, like, you know.
Yeah.
I weigh what I weigh when I was wrestling 133. Like, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
So when you went 41, you were just pretty much showing up to the weigh-in.
Showing up to weigh-ins. Like what I would do is like I would try to eat more, and I would try to like, I would take creatine, take all my like I would take, and then I would like do like a weight cut to do like 2 pounds or three. But it was like, that was because that was my max weight. It wasn't like I was three over and had to like had cotton mouth. No, it was like I ate food and then I just was doing that just so I felt better at the duel.
Yeah. Yeah,
that makes sense. Like I was like, I just was trying to maximize and be like, oh, I'll just like cut off, I'll just put on sweats and like lose 2 pounds. Yeah. So it was like, that was like,
that'd be a good feeling to have before. Yeah. Cutting weight, just
but it was a struggle because also going in and not wrestle, I did that Olympic red shirt and then COVID red shirt year, so I didn't wrestle at all in folk style. So going from that and then jumping up was a very hard thing, because if you think about it, like wrapping your head up, like, okay, I got to come aggressive today, and then, you know, you're moving too much. They're just like a little brick house, and you can't move them, and all of a sudden you're doing too much. You know, there was that route. Then it was like you, I know my balance on a scale, but I felt at 41 when I jumped up, I was sitting on both ends of the scale. It was like, do too much, it would like go against me. Not do enough, I didn't do enough to score.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I didn't know how to wear my guy down. I didn't know how to be efficient enough. And it was something I needed to grow into, if that makes sense. Like I go in and grab the guy, I'm like, I'm way better than you. And then it would just be like, how did you just beat me? Like I just gave up a reversal, got ridden out, and then gave up a stupid takedown because I tried to be aggressive and do something I would do to a guy my size. And, you know, it was just kind of like a really weird year that I think I had to look at it and be like, that did not define me as a wrestler. And that had nothing to do with how I am as a wrestler. It actually just made me stronger in the end, because it was like, I'm not afraid to lose anymore. I don't care. I'm going to go in and scrap and wrestle as hard as I can. And my effort level was, and when I came in and won my bronze medal, my first year in, I was like, now I got my confidence back. I finally won my first medal. Let's go and win gold next year. You know what I mean? And it was like, I felt like I learned a lot, even as much as that sucked, not all American, losing in the blood round in overtime, you know, having terrible losses to guys that I believe I should never have. But, you know, I was up to almost, you know, 20 pound different win weight class that I shouldn't have been. And to be honest, to do that, I took a lot of heart, and I grew as a person because I came out mentally stronger. You know, don't recommend it for like people to just do that though.
I just wrestled up 2 weight classes.
Oh, wow. Yeah. He's a 74, wrestled 97.
Yeah, I'm a 74. I weighed in at 182.0 and wrestled 197. And I got pancaked in a minute.
Wow.
And pinned. Yeah. He felt really strong. Can't lie.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, I gave a lot of credit when Miles wrestled 97 that one year.
Yeah.
That was during the COVID year.
Mm.
I don't even know how he did that, but I mean, he's just the strength that he has to be able to go up and do that. But I mean, he doesn't cut for 86 or any 86 kilos, but like, it just like him just to, he had to put on a lot of size, like the amount of food that he was eating and stuff. And I was like, dude, I can only imagine what it's like going up against those big dudes.
True.
Yeah.
One match that I kind of want to bring up and get your whole take on it was when DeSanto tried to break your arm.
Yeah, I knew that was going to come up, though.
Walk me through that.
Okay. So DeSanto, I think, is somebody you have to have a lot of respect for as a wrestler, because he does something so, so good. You know, he comes in with his inside tie, and he's literally, if you ask anyone who's wrestled him, he's peeling the skin off of your hand. He's pinching in like so tight, and like he wears tape on his hand, so your whole arm after the match is just a big rash and rug burn.
Oh.
So he's so good at that positioning, and I think if you're not in the right mindset to wrestle him and just kind of think you can overlook it, he will punish you with fireman's carry. And that's, you know, he's so strong. It's like freakishly strong. Mm. And I remember, I'll start from that year, 2018, I wrestled Cliff Keen. My first tournament back into competition, and I wrestled. I lost to Pletcher, the Cliff Keen tournament, in kind of a crazy match. Fletcher was super clutch, and he beat me. And I was so upset, like, because I made a dumb decision. Probably should have went into overtime and just won the match conservatively. I tried to rush it. You know, he was smart. He played the folk style game. You know, beat me, and I wanted to be done with the tournament. And I'm just like kind of pouting a little bit. I was young in my first, you know, I was a sophomore. I was like pouting up, and 10 minutes later, I was like on deck, and I just see this Drexel kid, this spaz, just like hitting his arm, slapping his face, like screaming and stuff. And I was like, oh boy, I got to wrestle this kid. I go out there, and the dude just fireman's me, boom, boom, boom. I almost get tech-falled, and literally, like, it was the most embarrassing thing in my wrestling, like, probably up to date. That was probably the most embarrassing thing that happened to me. And I remember just being, like crying, like, being so upset. And, you know, coming into the dual season, you know, my conditioning was in shape. I had the right mindset, you know. I fixed a lot of the stuff that I had to get, you know. I put that behind me and was just locked in. I think I went on a crazy spree during my Big Ten season. I had majored everybody through my Big Ten season going into the Big Ten tournament. The Nationals, I wrestled him in the quarters, and I was just so ready to wrestle him. And I think, like, in his head, was not expecting me to just be kind of like locked in. And I just beat him, just like kicked his butt. I think I was winning 12-1, took him down, took him to the Turk, and he was just mentally like, you know, like, I put him in a Turk on his back. He just was like flustered. And so I was kind of just like, I don't know what happened, but like, he was just getting angry. Like, he was pulling my headgear off and shoving me. And I was just like, dude,
hitting cartwheels,
dude. And then all of a sudden, like at the break, he just does a cartwheel and tries to break my arm. And like, I was just like, dude, how is the referee not like disqualified?
It went on for a while.
Yeah. It went on way too long. And I mean, it was really bad. Like, it was a bad form. More like, it did not hurt my arm. I was just kind of like sticking it out. Like, I was like, what is he doing to me? I'm like, referee, count the back points at this point. Cause like, I could not believe he did. The referee didn't call anything. He was just kind of like in stun. And afterwards, like, man, I'm so sorry for not blowing the whistle. Like, for you, the referee came up to me and apologized. He was like, hey, it's okay. Like, I don't know what that was, but yeah, I don't know how, like, you know, and I don't know nothing against him or anything. It was such a long time ago, but I still think that that moment will go down as one of the craziest college wrestling moments of all time. Because
yeah, that's
no
true.
One ever, like, for that, and also that being like a quarterfinals match, which wasn't like, you know, it wasn't like on the main mat in my finals or even the semifinals where they cut it. It was like the quarterfinals, and for that to happen, right?
Yeah. Well, I guess talking more about like just injuries, going back to your finals match with Gross, you kind of hyperextended your elbow on a shuck there. Yeah. How much did that affect your match?
It didn't really affect my match after that. I just remember I had to like let him, I just gave him a free, I didn't realize me calling a time. I just wanted to like give myself some time to recoup, to be honest, because it did hyperextend my elbow, but I just wanted to give some time to recoup, and then I gave him a free point. I was like, damn. But no, it was actually okay. Like, nothing crazy that tournament. I was okay. Just, I learned a little bit about how to, you know, he had like my wrist, and usually guys grab my elbow, so it worked. So when he grabbed my wrist, it like hyperextended.
Sure.
So nothing too crazy.
There, what would you say to like people that are in wrestling right now that are hurt? They're like maybe getting over an injury, or, you know, they can't wrestle the rest of the year.
Yeah.
What would be some, I guess, words of encouragement for them, you know, for the next year, or however you see that?
Words of encouragement, I would say, for like anyone going forward. You know, I think like if you really love the sport of wrestling and you really want to get better and improve, you can do it. You know, I think it's, anyone can. It's just, it takes commitment. It takes sacrifice. And there's a lot of things that maybe in high school that you might have to miss doing, you know. I remember my high school and middle school, like, life wasn't normal for a lot of, you know, normal kids were doing, even sports, like, you know, wrestlers. I missed a lot of things, you know. I didn't go to many like friends' houses or like go to parties and stuff like that in high school. I missed out on a lot just to sacrifice because I cared about my wrestling career and I wanted to make those differences. Like those summers, you know, people always they get so excited about the wrestling season. And then when the season's over, it's like, I can't wait for next year. I can't wait to jump right in the off season. And then, you know, they aren't putting that work in the off season, in the summertime. And it's like, that is such a big time where you can go and you can find people to work with. There's so many resources, so many coaches to get privates from, you know, focus on making your wrestling better, go and, you know, find, seeking out, you know, places to go, even if you have to drive an hour or whatever it is, mm-hmm. to go catch a ride with somebody, stay at, you know, focusing. If you want to get better at wrestling, like, you know, you're 135 pounder. What are you doing playing football? You know, like, I never understood. They're like, I want to play football, but I also love wrestling. And it's like, dude, like, come on. Like, I get it. You love football. Like, you go play football with your friends on the weekends or something. But like, if you really care about getting better, like, focus on wrestling. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what you, if that's your passion and that's your goal, you know, focus on it and spend the time to do it, because it's not an easy thing to do. It's a commitment, and but it's worth it. You know, like the things that I've been able to do, like, I'm blessed. I thank God every day because I feel like wrestling's given me so many opportunities to do things with my life in the long run. You know, and it might not seem easy right now. There's things that I used to be really get hard on myself for missing things and thinking whatever. But for the things I get to do and travel the world and accomplish the things, like, I wouldn't trade that in for anything. So you know, and anyone can do it. So
I like that. How has God played a role in your life?
You know, I'm a religious guy. You know, I grew up, I'm Serbian Orthodox. I'm Orthodox Christian, like, you know, going to church, being an altar boy, you know, mm-hmm. going to Serbian school and you know, be having a good relationship with my family, you know, through God and, you know, having that, relationship, praying. And, you know, I think that's been one of the main things that, like, no matter what, that's number one. You gotta put that first and, put like, and one of the things with God is like learning, like, to be patient with what God wants for you in your life. Because mm-hmm. for me, you know, I looked up to like Henry Cejudo, who's the youngest Olympic gold medalist, you know, and don't think like, hey, I can do that too. But learning that my path, like, I wasn't mentally, physically, technically mature enough to do the stuff that I did at 21. I didn't get to be an NCAA champion. I wanted to be an NCAA champion. I won Big Tens. I was a 3-time All-American. I didn't win. And I know this sounds maybe a little bit like, I don't want to come off like, hey, I'm accomplishing high-level things, but this applies to anyone at any level of things. Like, when you're really close to doing something and you might not do it or have some tragedy that happens in your life, you know? There are things that happen to you that might not be, but you can't just shy away from God's love, you know? Mm-hmm. And being able to accept whatever it is and be thankful for that, you know, for like what you can have from that and what you can learn from that and going forward. So I think my perseverance and my faith and my patience with God and my relationship with Jesus, I think that's like, helped me, you know, win this gold medal and become a world champion, because I've had to go through a lot and say, like, listen, you know, I actually talked with Jordan Burroughs a few weeks ago. Actually, I was out in Philadelphia, and I think one of the things he told me, you know, not off religion, I know he's a godly man, but like going off of like what he told me was like, Stevan, would you have, like, when you were 17 saying like you'd be a world champion now, but like, would you be okay with like the path, like if you didn't have like the success in college that you wanted, or like but you knew that you were going to be a world champion in 10 years, would you be happy with that? I'd be like, yes, like, of course I would be happy with it. But like, sometimes in your life, you want things right away. You want to have this success and you see you're good at something. You know, I've always mm-hmm. been the guy that's been second, third, bronze, silver, you know, mm-hmm. and to be like, I'm the best right now and I believe in myself and have that confidence, it's well past its, you know, it's just been so rewarding to me, and I couldn't be more thankful to God for that, you know, giving awesome. Me the opportunity. Yeah.
That is cool. And I guess the last thing I do want to touch base on is with the Olympics coming up, mm-hmm. you know, last Olympics I heard with your podcast with Flo is like you had mono, that basically that whole thing. So I feel like for you, you got to be so dialed in mm-hmm. for this next cycle that
yes.
I'm so excited to see you.
Thank you, man. I think one of the things for me is I'm super dialed and I have a fire burning for this, but I've said it before, like, I think I'm a lot more calm going into it, like a lot less pressure because there was a lot of unknowns going into Tokyo, right? You know, I'd taken fifth at the World Championships. I lost for bronze the year before, but I qualified. So I hadn't had a world medal yet. I can't go into the Olympics ranked as I was number three. I won the tournament in Poland, the ranking series, and moved to number one. So I was the number one seed going in, but like really without the results, really not knowing what an Olympic Games is like, trying to be so disciplined on my weight, which was, you know, like I was cutting a lot. I'm a big 57 kilo guy and worrying so much about that, trying to put myself in the best situation possible and just seeing that how I can still be sick and something just go terribly wrong, right? Yeah. And knowing like, hey, you still have to be focused and you still have to be lasered in and do the right things every day. But from a mindset perspective, yeah, I'm hungrier than ever. Like I cannot wait for these Olympic Games to go and do my very, very best. And, you know, going in it, I actually have a lot of confidence from the Worlds to be like, now I have results to show for, to speak for themselves. And I have the confidence as the world champion and going into being like, look, I'm going to be a better form of myself. I'm going to be a better form. I'm going to be a different form. And I can't wait to go and wrestle the same guys or anyone new. I can't wait. Like, give me the American guy. Like, I'm going to go beat him. Like, give me the rush. Give me Uguiev again. I cannot wait to be a new form of myself, like a better level. Like, you know, I'm a new form, you know? Mm. And, I'm Gear 5 Luffy, you know, like in One Piece for anyone who gets that. But like, I can't wait to be the new form of myself. And it's just like the fire is burning, the passion's burning, but I'm a lot more like level-headed and calm and know what to expect. And I'm not like, I don't feel as phased. So if that makes sense, because I know like things might not go the way that they, and I'm expecting if things don't go the way, I can handle that. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because you can't go in so uptight and so like freaked out. Right. And everyone that I've talked to, you know, my Serbian teammate Zura Dunatsashvili, he was he's a Georgian but he competes for Serbia. He's a two-time world champion in Greco, Olympic bronze medalist in Tokyo. And in Tokyo, it was his first time competing for Serbia, but it was his third Olympic Games. And he told me, he's like, my first two Olympic Games, first one, I was so uptight, nervous. Second one, I was so uptight. And third one, he's like, I just came in calm, relaxed. I knew, hey, listen, like, I'm going to have fun. This probably might be my last Olympic game or whatever. But like, you know, going in, like, he put a lot less, you know, pressure on himself and he won a bronze. And it was just, for even from hearing that angle, it's like the dude went through three Olympic Games.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, some people might only ever do one is a crazy feat, but three, and to understand like how you change, you mature mentally as you get older and learning about yourself and learning about the sport, you know, it's crazy. So I feel like I'm in my prime right now. I'm going into my prime. So I'm excited to, you know, and, you know, God willing, everything goes well, stay healthy, stay focused, stay motivated and not let anything get in and just give it my all and just improve where I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And I believe I'm going to win. So
that's awesome.
Sweet. Can you speak Serbian?
I can fluently? Speak Serbian. I'm close to fluent. So I didn't learn as a kid because my mother's American, but I learned a lot. Like I learned a lot growing up, and then I took classes at Michigan, actually 2 years of it.
Oh, wow.
And then I still do tutors like twice a week right now, just because I need to do good when I'm speaking with people and, you know. Helps try to talk to some girls in Serbian.
give us some riz in Serbian.
I don't know what you want me to say. Like, I don't know. Like,
you could say anything and we wouldn't know.
You should have got us.
We should have done
that. Ne znam šta da šta da kažem šta hoću da kažem ali mogu da pričam srpski za tebe, ali ja se bojem da pričam I said I'm scared to speak Serbian a little. I can speak Serbian, I'm a little scared.
I was going to say, I didn't know what you said, but I'm blushing. I said, I didn't know what you said, but I'm blushing over here.
Oči da zahvalim tebe da imam me na podcast. I want to thank you for having me on your podcast.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. We appreciate that. You have any more questions?
Well, we have to get to the best part of the show.
Tell me.
Fun facts.
Oh, my God. We're doing fun facts again?
But yeah, we're always doing fun facts.
All right, last thing. Fun facts.
You come with one?
No. I didn't know.
We always do this when we do the in-person guests. We end it with a fun fact.
Okay.
Can be about anything. Doesn't have to be about you. But I came with one.
All right, tell me.
The Eiffel Tower is taller during the summertime.
Why is that?
By 6 inches, because because the sun.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Wow.
The metal expands by the sun.
What?
Really?
Yep. So wait, if it just freezes, it shrinks?
Yeah.
I mean, that makes sense.
Like right? All things, huh? I guess. You want to beat me to a fun fact?
Man, I could have came prepared with one too.
Yeah, I could have thought too.
Fun fact. I feel like I always have really good fun facts, like when they don't matter at all. I'm like, oh, this would be a good fun fact. I don't know.
You don't got one?
No, I'm so dumb. We wrestled like matches and had practice, and I wrestled a world champion today. I'm a little tired.
All right, fine. We can skip it.
We'll skip it. Unless you got one.
Anyone? I'm trying to think.
Mike, let's get one.
Mike, anything?
I'm trying to think right now
for me.
Even something personal, too. Something that no one knows about you.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll say something kind of interesting about me. Not, like, interesting. It's just, like, weird. I have a... So, I have, like, a... Like, my chest is kind of concave. I have, like, rib flare. So, everyone always thinks, like, because of my like, body isn't... It's, like, it's my... Always my stomach sticks out further than, like, my chest does. So, like, yeah. My ribs are always flaring up. And so, I kind of have, like, a weird thing. And, like, I, like, have a hiatal hernia. So, like, I can't burp either.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's Caden like, burps about 400 times a day.
Keep crying. Keep complaining. Keep
so complaining. That's like a kind of a crazy fact about me. That like is kind of like not like weird, but it's just like it. Yeah, it makes things like tough. Like when I'm like, especially like when I'm cutting weight, and like then I like eat a lot of food. Like dude, it, like my stomach kills me, dude. Man. Like after tournaments, dude.
Yeah, that's wow. That's actually I never even heard about that. I do have a fun fact now, since I guess we're talking about food. But Crumble Cookie now has a cinnamon roll square. So you did?
Yeah,
how was it?
It was fire.
Really?
Yeah. It was really good.
I'm gonna have to try that.
Dude, Crumble Cookie's fire.
Australia is wider than the moon.
What?
No, it's not.
Yeah, look it up.
Australia?
Like if you wrap Australia up, or like
I think just like.
Like the face of it.
Yeah, I think like the face of the moon, Australia is just wider than it. You know what I mean?
So the moon is
not the
really
circumference, but the radius.
That's crazy. So like, really, that's like, oh, that's nuts.
Do you think the moon landing's real?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't want to get. We could be here another hour. No, I'm kidding. I don't know, dude. I don't know. I don't know about that. I definitely think the. I don't believe in flat Earth, though. I definitely think Earth is round, but I don't think. I don't know about the moon landing.
Isn't it crazy that we're even questioning it, though? Like,
well, I just think, like, when you just learn about, like, when you just get older and you realize, like, how life works and stuff like that and, like, how things go, like, you just aren't sure about, like, what people always tell you and stuff and, like, what you learn sometimes or, like, people want you to learn. But, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, like, it's hard for me to, like, really think about that one.
That's fair. Okay, one last question because I keep thinking.
No, go ahead.
Favorite pair of shoes you have?
Oh,
like street shoes or wrestling shoes?
Favorite shoes that I have, I like my Jordan 1, like Chicago Lost and Founds that I have. Those are really awesome. I also had I have a pair of my, I haven't worn them, but the Travis Scott, the Jordan 1 Travis Scott's, the brown original ones. Okay. But I haven't worn those. And then probably wrestling shoe, the A6, the EXE. What's the new model called though? To be
TWR 900, right? Is it?
What? Or
is
it? I have no idea.
No, that might be the first one. But I think it's just XEOs.
It's just XEO, whatever the newest ones are with like a little more grip on them. Those are amazing. So yeah, I think those are my A6s I like. I just like what they do with the shoe. And the way that you can just kind of mold them to your feet. But I definitely think they're kind of like the premier shoe. I just think not to get off like topic of this, but like I definitely think like they're like, you know how like in soccer, people have like, they have boots for like, they're just for the competition. They're like specifics. Mm-hmm. I think those are kind of like what that is for wrestling. Because like, I feel like if you wear them too much, they can get worn out. And people are like, oh, the quality. But it's like, these are supposed to be like premier shoes for like what you're supposed to compete in, you know?
Mm-hmm. That makes
sense. So I think like wrestling, we just don't have that like level of like, oh, here are your like trainers. And then here are your like competition boots, you know?
Yeah. And it's wrestling too. Like they're doing more than just walking around like regular shoes. Like, of course they're going to get worn.
Yeah. I was just saying, speaking of the moon,
sure,
Chicago Galaxy, baby.
Woo. And those are really good quality because they're like heavy material,
yeah,
too.
They're amazing. Like, they're heavy. They're kind of like that, like vintage style, like 90s, like old, but like bring back the graphic tee.
Yeah.
So these are sick, but like, I just think Galaxy was a cool name for us that we made it up. But yeah, we're giving those away.
Yeah, go to YouTube.
Yeah, go to my YouTube. I'm doing a giveaway for it right now. And then we'll release, I think, about 100 each. For like a limited release for them. So like about a month from now. So we're gonna be dropping those.
Well, I'm entered in the giveaway, so don't count me out.
You're gonna get a shirt, so don't even cry. Both of you guys are, so.
Well, thank you. But we do have a little gift for you.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. Thank you.
This is brought to you by Brady Shoe. He has, his family has this thing called the Shoe Shop. They cut metal and make trailers.
These are awesome. Thank you, guys.
And more. You're our 29th in-person guest.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for coming.
Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah.
This is sweet.
Yeah. Thanks for making the drive.
Yeah, dude. This was really amazing, guys. Thanks for having me. Yeah, definitely, dude. If you wanna come back for like any, you know, like come for training like probably spring, summertime.
Yeah.
It'd be really nice. Just let me know.
Absolutely. Let's do it. Cool. Sweet. Thanks for watching.